Hello and welcome everybody again to my Tuesday conference call. Again, I'm Ted Keyes, your host here in Pasadena, California. This is a free high-powered meeting I hold live every Tuesday for top producing freight agents at 2 p.m. Pacific time and 5 p.m. Eastern time. On the call today, I'll show you how to move more freight efficiently, effectively, and effortlessly. So once again, you make more money financially. And again, that is one of the main reasons why we do this profession. It's to make more money financially. After the call today, go to tedkeysonline.com to hear more of these podcasts, read more of my blog posts, watch more of my videos, and while you're there, visit my Freight Sales Success Store for top-notch freight-moving products to explode your business today. And while you're there taking in all this free information, go to my contact page. Again, just click on the contact page and enter your contact details. By doing that, if you're not already on my email list, you'll receive your personal weekly invite to this and every call, along with the attachments that I send out for every call. You'll also get my free report that's been downloaded thousands of times, 11 ways freight agents will increase their income. On the call today, I've got a very special guest, a top-producing freight agent with our company, Logistic Dynamics, Nick Capra. Nick Capra is my freight sales expert guest today. Nick, are you there?
I'm here, Fred. Nice to be here. Ted, sorry.
Nick, welcome to the call today. Thanks for getting on the call today. Nick, just give us a synopsis or a timeline of your time, of your actual time in this industry, in this profession as being a successful freight sales agent.
It's been a while. I started in this business when I was about 19 years old, working in a, for lack of a better term, a double broker shop for Sargent Trucking, not knowing anything about freight brokering, not knowing anything about freight sales, direct customers, carriers, anything. I got a call from a buddy of mine and said, hey, you talk too much. You want to come give this a try? And I said, sure. I didn't have anything better to do. I had no job. I was 19 years old. So I went in and I gave it a try, and I fell in love with the process, the high intense sales environment that it was, even though I really didn't have anybody teaching me how to really become a successful freight broker. We kind of continued along in that office for not too long, because as anybody knows who's successful in this business, you don't really get too far in a double broker shop. But it gives you the spice for the business, and I ended up working for another agent who was successful, had his own direct customers, and brought me in as a dispatcher. And as I was a dispatcher for him, and I sold his freight, and I continued to prospect my own freight and my own new customers, I became more successful underneath him. And I brought in my own book of business, and I began to develop a book of business over the years. He ended up folding and just running his trucking company, and I ended up at LDI here.
Awesome. Give us an idea. What is a double broker shop, Nick? And is that something? Is that something
a double broker shop
you want to be affiliated with?
No.
What a double broker shop.
Double broker shops, basically what a double broker shop would do is you'd have a login to Internet Truck Stop or DAT as a trucker and as a broker. And they, typical lying double broker type people will get up there and they will post, 9 million trucks in a hot area. Let's say Springfield, Massachusetts.
Got it.
That makes the brokers think, the actual legit brokers like you and I are, that there's a lot of trucks in the area, which makes them have to pay, it's more competitive. They're going to have to pay a little bit more on their freight. So you post all these trucks. Meanwhile, none of these trucks are real. And then you go back out and you find actual real loads from real brokers like you and I, and then you as the double broker guy call them with your trucking MC, take the load, you beat the broker up as high as you can, you take the load saying that you have a truck, which is lying and it's illegal and you're not allowed to do it.
Right.
You take that load and then you then repost the load by blind posting it like as close location. So let's say it's really in South Deerfield, but you post it as Springfield. It's 60 miles away. It's close enough.
And
so you post it.
Nick, this is a load that you actually take off a load board.
That's a load that you take off a load board from another broker, which you are not allowed to do.
You just exaggerate the pickup and the delivery.
That's it. And you lie to the broker, and you say that you have a driver, and now what you have to do is you have to then resell this to an actual truck to make your brokerage. Now, when I had first started, I didn't know that this was not good business practices. I thought this was I was 19 years old. I thought this was literally, you know, what we were doing. I thought this was the job description. Until, you know, I got into it a little bit more and really found out what a freight broker or a freight agent does. But that's what that's how we, you know, built that office, just on double brokering and, you know, not being honest and not having really any integrity in the business. And, in my experience, it always leads to failure. No matter how good at it you are.
Yeah. That's just a quick rundown. I could imagine you filling us on a whole bunch of other stuff that goes on there. It surprises me sometimes where I will get calls from other brokers that are calling on my load. You know, either they'll tell me who they are. Now, I've been around not as long as you, Nick, but I can get a feel for who they are just by their name, or I may look up their number, and I wonder, why on earth would you call me to be part of my load? I mean, I am a broker myself. Why would I require your assistance? But
right.
Again, I would venture to say, Nick, and you can or cannot back me up on this, but I'd venture to say that this is their training. I would venture to say again that these folks that call me or anyone to attempt a double broker load don't get the best of training. They don't have the availability to get on a conference call like this one here.
That's very correct. They're usually thrown into, for lack of a better term, a boiler room type environment where it's make money or you don't have a job. And one of the first ways that people are, you know, siphoned into going in the bad direction in this business is by double brokering. Which is one of the, you know, in my personal business today, it's one of the biggest things. You know, we're all about honesty and integrity in my office. If it's not honest, if you're not telling the truth, I don't want to have anything to do with it because of the way, you know, I have had, you know, my first experiences in the business.
Okay, all right. Hey, Nick, we'll put an end to double brokering. Let's get into the guts of my call here. Now, when you were describing your intro or the beginnings of your time in this profession, you mentioned it took you years. Now, I'm going to assume you meant like a year or two to build up your book of business. Is that correct?
To really have a solid book of business, I had a solid book of business, I'd say within a year. But, you know, as you know, you have to continuously build that book so that you're not just working seasonally. Because I focus on a lot of different seasonal customers, but, you know, I had to, you know, fill in the gaps in between those seasons. And, you know, you have customers, but your customers always leave. They always find better rates. They always knock you down. You always have to have, you know, another customer just sitting there on the turn waiting for that next season, or should I say. So, yes, within the first year I had a book of business, but it takes quite some time to really build, you know, several relationships so that you're very solid, so that your book of business is very solid, in my opinion.
What would you say is your specialty?
My specialty is government contracting, U.S. mail.
Government contracting, okay. Mm-hmm. And is that a seasonal business?
Very much so. It's seasonal in its volume, for sure. I do run some year-round different government contracts from mail to Humvees to, you know, several different things, uniforms. But those are, you know, it's stuff that comes and goes, and it's from my relationship with the actual contractors. And that's how there's bid sites out there that, you know, anybody can get on. But it's not always the lowest bid that wins the actual contract. They want to know that it's going to actually happen. So that's where that relationship comes into play.
Got it. Speaking of mail, there's a difference in dry vans. There's a difference in dry vans between mail carriers and regular standard dry vans. Am I right on that?
Well, it depends on the. It depends on the.
It appears that dry vans for mail are a little shorter than your standard dry van?
They can be, yes. Their mail has a lot of very odd requirements depending on where it's going in the country. And yes, what you touched on is correct. There's a lot of contracts out there that require only 21-foot boxes or only 28-foot boxes or only 48s, which is, you know, as you get the more oddball the equipment, the more difficult that equipment is to find.
Okay.
In the overflow seasons, we run mainly 48s and 53s. With the overflow, which makes it a lot easier. And on some of the year-round contracts, I've been able to convince the post office and different postal contractors that I work with that it was actually, believe it or not, going to be more cost-effective for them just to use 48s and 53s rather than to try to use the specialized equipment because it's going to end up costing them more at the end of the day.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Mail deliveries, are they typically made with roll-up doors?
Not typically, but yes, that is, that's definitely something that plays in. If you are on a year-round mail contract, they want you to have roll-up doors because there's such a thing, there's chain locks that go on the trailer itself. It's basically a rod that goes out of the side of the dry van that goes around and secures the actual roll-up door itself so that they can put a chain, they can put a padlock and a seal on it. So that would be roll-up doors for year-round work, for any seasonal work, whether it be Christmas, whether it be summer, any holiday mail. They usually will leave the roll-up door requirement out just because, it again, it becomes more, it's more cost-effective to just let me do what I'm best at. And I can, they can use their regular seals, but they don't have to pay more to get specialized equipment. But yes, you are correct. On year-round contracts, anything that's running for 10 months or more, they're going to require roll-up doors.
I would venture to say then that holiday times is your busiest time of year.
No, yes. Yep, by far.
Okay. Okay. Does demand of trailers have anything to do with that? I mean, like during, say, Christmas time, you've been doing roll-up doors for the, you know, throughout the year. And let's face it, mail increases over Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Correct.
Is a U.S. mail a little more lenient on the type of trailer that you use?
Far more lenient because the volume is so much higher, but that's where that relationship really plays in,
right.
Because their leniency is you know put out there and trusted by my reliability. So you know, yes, the roll-up doors aren't going to be required. Some of the regular requirements, like the background checks on everything, you know, usually on a year-round contract, I have to have full background checks. I have to have abstracts on licenses, you know, the whole gamut. In overflow season, you know, when you're running anywhere from, you know, you're running 400 or 500 trucks a day sometimes, it's not a possibility if you want anything to be done in any type of timely manner to have that happen. So they rely on our relationship and the trust that they have with me and, you know, our history together to know that I'm going to provide reliable transportation to them so that they don't have to worry about it.
Got it. Anything else you move freight-wise in addition to government contracts? Next?
Oh, yeah, I move a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, mail is just... It's something I'm very infatuated with, and I like it a lot. It's something I really like to move. But I move lots of stuff. I move produce. I move potatoes. I move melons. I move garbage. I'm a big garbage, of course, right? A typical Italian guy
garbage,
from the Northeast.
Are we talking recyclables or actual garbage? You know?
I move PET, which is recyclables, and I also
PET.
Move.
Got it. PET.
And I also
move. Again.
I'm not sure what it stands for. To tell you the truth, Dad, I've been saying it for years. It's just it's crushed recycling product that goes to different transfer stations.
I see.
And I actually do move baled recycling right to the landfill as well.
Okay, right to the landfills.
Yep, right to the landfill on dry vans and on flatbeds.
Dry vans and flatbeds. I was going to assume you did those, say, in an end dump or something like that. But no, it's done in dry vans. Okay.
Yep. They compress it, band it, and bale it, and they throw it in the back of dry vans or they put it on flatbeds with 6 or 8 foot tarps. And the only reason the tarps are required is because to be on the road with baled recycling like that, it has to be tarped by law.
Yeah, eliminate any loose stuff.
Right.
Now, if you're... My wife Maria hauls hay in dry vans, and you know she gets a lot of people not interested because it's hay, it's a mess.
Oh yeah.
I would venture to say that you have the same challenge when you tell them that they're hauling garbage, Nick.
I would say, Ted, that I cycle, where I have the garbage out of are very, very, very hot freight spots.
Okay.
But I'd say I cycle through, for every load that is sold, I take 20 phone calls.
20 phone calls. It takes on average, that many trucks to get to do the load.
That's correct. It would take about 20 to 30 phone calls, I would say, for a truck to actually take it, because you give them a quick rundown of it, and they go, oh, no, we're not taking that. So, it's very much the same, I'm sure, that Maria deals with the hay.
Nick, if you take that many phone calls just to cover one load, I would venture to say that the first thing out of your mouth then is, it's baled garbage. Or,
oh, yeah, I don't pull any punches.
Garbage,
it's baled recycling,
garbage,
going to the landfill.
Garbage.
It's 44,000 pounds, and it smells.
Yeah, the word garbage is like the first, second, or third word that's in your description when you talk to the carriers.
That's correct. It's trash going to a landfill, and it's very heavy. Do you guys haul that?
I see. I gotcha. Now, you said something earlier, Nick. You started at 19.
Mm-hmm.
And you're how old now?
I'm 30.
30?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good deal. So, again, 19 to 30, that is some good time building up, building up a contact list, building up a book of business. Was this all easy, Nick?
No, it's very different.
Was it Shangri-La when you came into the profession? Everybody wanted to talk to you?
No, it's definitely not like that at all.
Nick Capra is now an agent. Boy, I want him to move my freight. I mean, is that what it was like?
No, it's very very much the opposite of that. You have to put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into your relationships. Your relationships and your honesty are the most important thing in this business, in my opinion, and that's the reason I've been successful. There is no such thing as calling and getting 100 loads handed to you on a silver platter that you're going to make a $500 margin on. It just doesn't work like that. It takes a long time of learning how to speak to different customers, learning how to even get in touch with customers that you've been going after. I mean, as you know, there's a lot of customers out there that it's very difficult to even get on the phone with them, let alone get them to give you any freight, because they're there was a customer, candy customer, out of the Northeast that I was going after a couple of years ago. He had great loads going all over the reefer loads of candy going all over the country. This guy would not speak to me on the phone to save my life. I asked for the transportation manager. I couldn't even get a name out of him. So what I ended up doing was calling the sales department and pretending. I was talking to the transportation manager earlier, and I was trying to call him back. I lost him. I can't remember his name. And the girl on the phone goes, "Oh yeah, John." And I was like, "Yeah, that's right, John. Do you have his email for me, or can you transfer me to him?" She's like, "I'll just give you his email." And I got his email, and finally I got him to have a little bit of a rapport with me. But you're talking, this was over a 6-8 month period.
Yep.
I eventually got one load from him. And the load, I think I made $200 on it or something like that, which, isn't a great load. But it gave me the ability to cultivate the relationship with him. And now, he's not the best customer in the world, but every once in a while I'll get a 5-10 load push from him and make, $1,500, $2,000 in 2 days on him. But that relationship took probably a solid year to get, and it took me probably, I'd say, 4 months to even get to talk to the man on the phone. Yeah, I'd say at least to get to talk to him on the phone. I'm not saying that's, a typical, but, there's going to be situations, there's going to be customers that you have to really go after hard and use some creativity in your sales techniques to be able to get these people to talk to you, to have them be interested in you. We're not the only brokers on the planet, and you know that.
And a guy like that, just because he won't answer the phone, if he's not answering the phone, he's certainly not going to answer an email.
That's right. But eventually I got him. I got his name. I had sent over a bunch of this was back when I was with a different brokerage. I sent a bunch of promotional materials to him. I customized everything. I sent him probably, because my motto is I don't stop going after somebody until they literally tell me, "Nick, stop calling me."
Absolutely.
So
that is the rule, Nick.
Yeah, that's the way I was taught, by myself, pretty much, and that's the way I do it. And eventually he did get back to me, a very short, curt response, and I was able to get him on the phone and then used a little bit of our you know, sales, you know, personality to be able to get him to talk about, you know, what he had, you know, kind of rubbing salt in the wound type thing, what, you know, what type of things he was having issues with. And it took, you know, quite a few phone calls, and finally I got him set up, and then I got a load out of him, which was a terrible little load. It was out of Massachusetts, and it went down to Jersey.
Massachusetts to Jersey, that's like a nothing load. I mean,
yeah, it's a nothing little load, but I moved it,
and
it gave him a little bit of confidence in me.
Yep.
And after some time, you know, we were able to cultivate a relationship. And it's not, you know, it's not a $10 million customer, but it's something. And to have a lot of those relationships out there is really how to make your business successful. Because, you know, I have a few seasonal customers that could feed my family and pay my bills year-round, but those things go away, and they can, you know, there's no contracts in this business. You know, I could never get a load of mail again tomorrow.
Right.
It's just the way it is. So you have to have a lot of relationships to be able to keep your business going, and you have to continuously look for new relationships. If you're not willing to do that, then I just, you know, this may not be the business for you.
And here's a great point, well, you didn't bring up, but I'm going to bring up now. As you're pursuing a new prospect, a new customer, Nick, you have no idea what type of payers they are.
I mean, you could have
been pursuing this candy company for 8 months and then found out that they had terrible credit in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's face it, one of the things that somewhat deflates us is when we, you know, bring that customer information sheet or, you know, that credit app, and we send it to corporate, and we get this message back saying poor payers, got to put them on prepay.
Yeah, that's exactly. You're talking about taking the wind out of your sails.
Nothing is guaranteed in this profession. However, my main question to you, Nick, is it worth it?
To me, it's always worth it. Maybe some people can disagree, but that's what I do for a living.
Yeah.
I go after customers and I look for freight. And if I'm not doing anything else and I don't have any freight to move and this, it's taking me a long time, I might as well try to hammer on them while I have time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What other gold nuggets, you know, come to your mind before I hand this over to our listening audience for a little Q&A, Nick?
Availability.
Availability, meaning yourself?
I mean myself.
Okay.
Availability is, in my personal experience in this business, humongous. It's one of the large, I say to people all the time, availability, honesty, and integrity. I've gotten business at 10 o'clock at night, sitting in front of my computer with both my phones on, working. That would blow most people's minds as far as mail is concerned, and it's because I was here. Opportunity comes knocking at the door at 10 o'clock at night. It's not going to wait for you all night until you wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be there, ready to answer your phone, and ready to answer an email, and ready to do what you need to do 24 hours a day, whether you're the boss or whether you're the dispatcher. If you want to make money in this business, you have to be available. Because when the biggest fish need help, the biggest fish don't need help Monday morning at 9:30 in the morning. The biggest fish need help when somebody screws them. And
when
you've been that guy that,
you know, dropped the ball.
When somebody else has dropped the ball, and you've been that guy that's right there saying, hey, is there anything I can do to help you? Hey, my name's Nick Capper. I'm here. This is what I offer. This is the kind of rates. Do you have anything I can quote for you? Blah, blah, blah. And they're always hearing from you. And that one time that guy drops the ball at 7, 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, and they call you and they say, hey, Ted, all right, this guy screwed up. Can you take it? And you're there to take it. You're in. And
that's one thing I repeat. I repeat all the time, and that is you will be utilized when a problem arises.
That's correct.
That's when you're going to be utilized, and you're going to be given the opportunity because A, you've kept pursuing, you kept following up with this prospect or many of your prospects. They're going to remember, you know what, this guy kept calling me. He's been calling me for 3-4 months now. This Nick has been calling me. I've got a load sitting here that this other broker didn't pick up. Let me give Nick a call, and let's see him back up his words.
That's right. And as long as you do, which is what we do, that's what makes us successful. That's how you grab another good solid customer. I mean, I grabbed a very large chunk of mail at 10 o'clock at night.
At 10 o'clock at night.
10 o'clock at
night. Because mail is constantly being loaded and unloaded.
Constantly. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365
Absolutely.
Days a year.
Yeah, it's constant. So, yeah, I can see why you would get a call at 10 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night, midnight, because truck A did not show up in Middletown, New York.
Right. It was actually one of the a very large trucking company. And I'm sorry if I sound a little stuffy. I'm getting over some sort of cold here. But a very, very large trucking company dropped the ball. And we got a call. My partner and I got a call at literally 10 o'clock at night and said, okay, guys, is this something you can do? And it was actually a contract that him and I had worked a few years back. And we said, yeah, we know this contract inside and out, backwards and upside down. We can start right now. And they were like, well, when do you think you could have trucks here? And we were like, we were serious. Give us a couple hours. We'll have trucks there in the middle of the night. And we started working, and we did. We had trucks there at 3 o'clock in the morning starting to recover this mail. And it was because we were there. If I had decided to go out and have a couple glasses of wine with my wife and went to sleep, I would have lost that.
Right. Well, not only were you there answering the phone, but you had some relations built up with carriers as well.
Oh yeah, you have to. You know, you have to be able to call in favors.
Right. Any other little jewels you can provide, Nick? Say to the starting agent. You know,
the starting agent.
Picture back when you were 19, 20 years old, making those phone calls to your prospects. You know, what really sticks out during that time where the light went on and you said, boy, I got this?
The thing I could tell a starting agent is to really, you know, try to think about and try to break is fear. Because as a newer salesperson, especially in this business, when you're talking to another professional, this isn't like cold calling when you're cold calling people's houses. You're cold calling professionals that know why you're calling. So one of the biggest things that I see that newer agents have issues with is they're, you know, the fastest talking, funnest guy in the world when, you know, they're talking with you and I, but when they get on the phone with the customer, they freeze up. Because they have that fear in them. They don't know how to ask for what they want. They don't know how to go after what they want on the phone. So, and I had it too. I mean, it's human nature to have that kind of anxiety about it. I would write myself scripts.
We're doing something that we haven't done before.
That's correct. So I would write myself scripts. However the new agent sees himself, but go over. Don't just call somebody out of nowhere and then get yourself on the phone stuck and sound. Uninformed. Get yourself a script together. Put together a plan and bullet points of what you're going to talk about. Research your customer. Find out who you're calling. You can't just call the guy Bob and you know nothing about Bob. You know nothing about his product. You know nothing about his freight. You know nothing about how big his company is. You're just calling Bob and basically all you're going to say to Bob is, hey Bob, my name's Nick. Can I have freight? It's never going to work.
It doesn't work that way.
Not
one
at all.
One of the biggest attributes that we have, that we now as freight sales agents in this profession, in my opinion, Nick, is a jewel of a system called Google Maps. Do you agree?
I would agree, very much.
I mean, not only can you see where this company is on a map, you can also get pictures of the company itself.
Mm-hmm.
You got pictures of the companies that are next to the company that you're calling. I mean, just as an example, when you call that company, yeah, I see you're located next to Pepsi. Does their incoming and outbound freight ever affect, you know, trucks getting into your facility?
Right.
I mean, there's, let's face it, Nick, if we're not successful, it's because we're just not trying hard enough.
That's right. Or you can, you know, even as much as I've done stuff like there's, you know, your customer right down the street from your customer, there's a famous donut shop. So,
absolutely.
You know, you have a couple, you know, you have a dozen donuts and a gallon or a box of coffee delivered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just to be nice. That's all. I've done that, and it works. It seems silly, but stuff like that works. It gets their name, it gets your name in their mind for the next time that they have a problem. Oh, remember that guy Nick who's been calling? He sent us donuts over. You know, these guys screwed us. Let's try him. Those little stuff like that works. And then LinkedIn is another thing I use a lot just to try to get information on the person that I'm actually calling to.
Absolutely. Well, that's what LinkedIn is definitely one way to research somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
Before you call them.
Because I just don't see the point. Somebody brought that up to me a long time ago. It was like, you're researching someone. I mean, you're calling someone you know nothing about. Wouldn't
right.
it be a little
Absolutely.
Bit more, it would be, I think you'd get a lot further in the conversation if you knew the guy hated the Mets and loved the Yankees or vice versa.
That would be a great advantage. But however, that's not, high probability it's not going to happen on the first call.
High probability it's not, but you should
right.
at least know who you're calling.
Right. Got it. Nick, are you open for some Q&A from our listeners?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, awesome. Boy, thanks for the jewels that you've shared with us, Nick. Who's got the first question for Nick? Nick from Rhinebeck, New York. He's been doing this now, believe it or not, longer than I have, Nick. So you're more of an expert than I am.
I wouldn't say that, Ted, but thank you for having me on the call today for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Who's got the first question for Nick? Hit star six. While we're waiting to come on the call, Nick, any other jewels that you want to share with us? I mean, you've obviously got the temperament for this. Way back when you started, yeah, your friend was correct. He said that you are a good talker.
You actually just brought something up. Temperament is another huge thing in this business. It's very emotional on the phone, you know, depending on the day and depending on what you're doing. And when I was younger doing this, I used to get myself all worked up. A truck would aggravate me, or, you know, something would happen and it would aggravate me, and I would let it, and you realize it carries over to your next phone call. Whether you think it does or not, it does. And it affects the way you talk to the next truck or the next customer that you speak to. Keep yourself calm. It's a business. Everything is a business. You are a logistics expert, which to me, all that means to me is we're the people that make it work. We are make it work experts. So keep yourself calm. When things go wrong, that's okay. Find a way to fix it, because that's what we do for a living. Don't get mad. Don't get yourself worked up, because it carries on and it will ruin your next phone call, or it'll only ruin your next two phone calls, and that next phone call could be a $1 million phone call.
We are problem solvers through and through.
That's correct.
Especially in the beginning.
You're not kidding.
You're not moving freight because you're a nice, good-looking guy, you know, or you're college educated.
That's
or,
right.
You know, you're even... You know, or, you know, high school educated, or, you know, a dropout.
It doesn't matter.
You're moving freight because you're solving somebody's challenge.
That's correct.
Who's got the first question for Nick? Hit star six. First question for Nick. Hit star six.
I don't bite. You can ask me questions.
I'll pick the first question.
Awesome. Who's speaking?
This is Heath out of Washington.
Heath, hey, welcome Heath. To the call. Heath from
hey.
Washington on the line for you, Nick.
How you doing?
So let me start by apologizing. I just got on the line. I've been on. I listened the last 5-10 minutes, but
Nick,
I
we didn't even
was
know
on
that,
with the
so
couple.
You don't have to apologize.
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay. Very good.
Fire
all right.
First,
real quickly, I'm.
Nick.
I'm dealing with a customer who is much much younger than me, and she seems very excited about using our services.
Okay.
But when it comes to how to handle, I tend to be a little aggressive when pursuing something like this. My thought is I've contacted her, and I don't want to contact her so much that she gets irritated with the situation. Okay. Is there a rule of thumb, for example, I gave her a quote on Thursday, and she hasn't followed up. So I've contacted her via email twice now.
Okay.
And left her and tried to call her once. But what's the rule of thumb? She's a busy gal.
Do you have a rule of thumb for a situation like that, Nick?
To tell you the truth, Heath and Ted, I don't have so much of a rule of thumb. It's using your own general, discretion. But here's a question I have for you. You said she was very excited to use your services, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you gave her a quote, and the quote was obviously something that you thought was fair. You've shot her an email and called her how many times?
I sent her the quote on Thursday. Since then, I called her once and left an email on Friday, and then left her an email yesterday.
I think you should be calling her every day.
Okay.
Personally, I mean, it's about your ability to be able to develop the relationship. You can say stuff like that. You don't have to be, we're phone people. You can be like, hey, whatever her name is. Hey, Stephanie, I don't mean to bother. I just want to make sure that, my rate was fair and I didn't insult you if it works
sure.
for you or, whatever you need to do. You read the situation, you read her personality. And, you can even go at it and say, like I just said, you can say, I just want to make sure my rate didn't offend you. I want to do whatever we can do to secure the business together to continue our relationship. You should be calling her every day. Don't let her forget about you, because if she's excited about using you, she's excited about using 10,000 other brokers too.
What commodity does this future customer of yours move?
I'm glad you asked. It's root beer.
Root beer.
Root
yeah.
beer.
Okay.
I move soda.
Root beer. Like an off-brand of some sort.
It is. It's like one of those. One of those boutique root beers, like a Stewart or an IBC or something.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. My rule of thumb is you've been given the opportunity to quote her, Heath.
Yeah.
Your goal is to ask her that main question, that I typically respond with almost every email that I send out. Will this work?
Right.
Will this work? Will this work? I mean, that's a question that I ask many times during the day. Will this work? Even though I may be high, I may be low. But yeah, you've got to, this is that budding relationship that you're building, Heath. I think her age, you've got to take that into consideration. You said she's younger than you, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But
she's definitely a millennial.
Just like Nick said, you certainly don't want to bug her. Every day, you feel every day, Nick?
I mean, it would depend on, how you're feeling. If she's really excited about it, me personally, I'm really good at getting people on the phone and making them feel very comfortable.
Right.
I just want to make sure, Ted would know, he's got a lot of guys that, he does this a lot. But, me personally, I like to get people, I like to keep the contact. To make sure that she's not reaching out to other brokers and to make sure, like Ted said, is this working? Does this work for you? Do you want me to do something else? Am I offending you by this quote? And strike up a conversation with her. Find out, do you know anything about her other than she's young?
I know some about her. She's got, we've talked. She's a nice gal, and I'm not necessarily looking at this as she's upset about the quote or didn't like, because the load doesn't go up for a week and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know she's busy, so she may have just backburnered this for all I know.
That's very possible.
At least when the load goes out. I mean, if the load went out on Friday, that means you didn't get the load, Heath.
Right.
But Heath, you're going to keep pursuing her just like you would anybody else. Keep following up with her.
And I will.
Yep. That's why you're not just going to put her in your basket. You continue, as Matt is teaching you, to keep building up your contact list.
Yeah.
But great answer. Great answer, Nick. I totally agree.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
No problem.
Who's got the next call for Nick? It's Star 6.
Hi, this is Anthony.
Who's in line to question Nick?
Hey, Anthony.
Did I hear Anthony?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Anthony. Anthony from Michigan. Nick.
Yep. Hey, Nick, quick question. Kind of piggyback off the last question.
Sure.
Kind of going a little bit different direction, though. Let's say I literally just started this week.
Okay.
And let's say you're making calls, getting emails, and no one, is offering you a load or anything. But as far as follow-up, how often, just to keep and start building a rapport, how often should you reach out and cut? Once a month, once a week? How frequently would you reach out just to keep that touch going?
Well, it depends. Like you're talking, you just started this week. Are these people that are responding back and forth to you, or are these just people that you're reaching out to?
These are people that I literally just started making calls today.
Okay.
And I've had a couple people that told me, email me some information. Once I get the information, I'll send over, you know, some of our lanes, and you can give me a quote on them.
Yeah,
things
fantastic.
Like that. Thanks. But outside of that, let's say someone is they're not ready to move or they're not ready to work with me yet, just to kind of keep the relationship going or starting to build a relationship, how often should I, you know, reach out and touch, whether it's an email, a call, or something like that?
I mean, if they're a very prospective, if they're a good prospect and you know that they're moving a lot of freight and they're just not for some reason ready to move freight with you, I mean, there's a reason for that, and you'd want to diagnose that problem. Why don't they want to move freight with you? Because if you're not moving it, somebody else is. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
So if, you know, you got to diagnose why they don't want to move the freight with you. Is it because you didn't send over, is it because you didn't start the relationship correctly? Is it because you didn't send over enough information? Do they not know enough about your company? Do they not know enough about you? I would say at least once a week I'd send over something personalized to them, or try to give them a call and see if there's anything that you could help out with, if they're having any issues. Because, you know, with a new customer like that, you could call them on the right day and they could have just gotten screwed by J.B. Hunt. And
okay.
You could be that call. And they're like, you want to know what, Anthony? Sure, let's give you a shot. So I wouldn't be lax on following up with any of your contacts, to say the least. The ones that you're getting lane quotes from, I would stay on top of almost every day. And the ones that are not ready to work with you yet, give them a reason to want to work with you. Send them over promotional materials. Tell them that you'll give them discounts. Tell them, you know, anything you need to tell them to get them to have the conversation with you. Because us as salespeople, what do we want to do? We want to get people on the phone. Because, you know, if I can get you on the phone, we're in good shape. You know, emails are great. I love emails. They're fantastic. They're a formal way to speak to people. And it's a great way to start, like, a kind of mini relationship. But you can use that to send over, you know, your promotional materials. Make sure you have good, solid promotional materials that show, you know, use numbers, you know, 96% on time, success rate, all that other stuff. And ask them, you know, I'm available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Is there a good time for us to get on the phone and chat? Every email. I mean, every email I send just about, hey, is there a good time for us to get on the phone and chat? Is there a good time for me to come see you? Can we set up a conference call? You know, you want to constantly be on top of them without seeming like you're being pestering. And the best way to do that is by sending over promotional material and just constantly staying in contact. So like when Ted and I were speaking about before, when they do have a problem, you're the first person that pops into their head. Literally. First person. Oh, that guy Anthony, he's always sending me emails. He's always trying to get on the phone with me and talk to me about how he can help me and how he can save me money. Let's call him. I don't know if that helps you, but that's, you know, that's the way I would go about it.
Yep, that helps tremendously. Thank you. I appreciate
Anthony,
it.
great question. To back up what Nick just said, that is the rule of thumb. Rule of thumb is you want to touch your prospect once a week minimum.
Once a week minimum.
Again, and it can't always be via email. You've got to switch it up. Email, phone call. You could go back and forth, you know, every week, but touch minimum once a week. Other than that, you're not going to make an impression in their mind.
Right.
Got her, Anthony? Okay. Who's next? Who's next in line? Who's on deck at bat to ask Nick the next question? It's star six. Who's next? Nick, do you do most business with folks in your neck of the woods on the East Coast? Is that where most of your customers are located?
No, I have pretty diverse, I'd say. I like Northeast Freight because it's a good spot. But no, I have customers
outbound.
In Texas. Yeah, inbound can be tough. You know, it's much more expensive. But outbound freight from the Northeast. But I have customers in Texas, California, Florida, Midwest. I run a lot of mail in the Midwest as well. So I have a lot of carrier contacts out there as well, which are very important to have as well. You know, have large carrier contacts is very important. I've had carriers that have, gotten me out of some tough situations because I've taken care of them in the past and I've done the right thing by them, and they've gone to bat for me. So,
absolutely. Who's next on the call? got the next question for Nick. Hit star six. Nick, it appears that we don't have a...
no questions left.
Don't have too many questions for you today.
That's okay.
Any bits of golden nuggets you can share with us before I let you go?
Ted, Nick.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, this is Todd. I'm on the highway, Ted. As I told you, I'm moving to Kentucky today. I just
Todd, no problem. What question you have for Nick today?
First of all, I guess I lost two customers. by not having good credit this week, this week and last week when you were telling that, I assumed you were talking about me. But the question I have for you, Nick, is I'm going after customers. I'm trying to get to the point where they don't send out bids. Like I got a few customers, they send out bids and lowest bid wins, and I've become pretty good at that. But
mm-hmm.
but I want customers or a customer that trusts me alone to move their freight, and I'm understanding that's what you do. What is a good way to keep pounding at these people? Because I have the leads, I have the prospect, I talk to them, but they're like, yeah, we're happy with our freight broker right now, and they might send me the bid sheet and let me bid their lane, but I can't crack into them good. So, is there anything you could tell me to help me with that?
What I can tell you is, depending on what the commodity is that you're moving, are you moving like produce and stuff like that?
Yeah, I moved some produce. That was one of the customers this week that I've been working on 3 months, and he goes to fill out the credit app, and he don't have any credit. But
go ahead, man.
A lot of the people that I'm working on are manufacturers.
Talk a little louder, Todd.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, talking to your
A lot of people that I'm calling, I'm trying to get in with are manufacturers that, they ship out 30, 40 loads a month is what they're telling me. But so it's dry palletized manufacturing good.
Okay. And then, first of all, you getting on their list to begin with as somebody that they're going to use, that's an accomplishment right there. So congrats there. What you need to do is, first of all, you need to fill out their bid packet and try to beat the other brokers. And then you need to create the relationship with whoever the transportation manager is there, which is, an obvious thing. You need to get a good rapport with them, because if they have 30, 40 loads, that's a lot, and they use a lot of brokers. That's something we all know. So what you could do, and what I've done in the past with customers like that, is try to get get an idea of when they're shipping. Like, let's say, they have a lot of loads that go out on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Hit them up on Monday and say, hey, I got about 10 trucks sitting there on Wednesday, and I got another 10 trucks that are going to be sitting in your area on Thursday. What do you have for me? So that before it goes out to bid, before they start awarding it, they give it to you. And that will, and as long as you do a good job, that will up their confidence in your relationship with them. It's another one of those things, and I don't know if you agree with me, Ted. That's one of those types of relationships that takes time, especially with manufacturers like that have a lot of loads going.
Absolutely. Again, one thing I say repeatedly is every customer is different.
Right.
Every customer is different, but you just back me up, Nick, by saying, hey, You gotta just keep pursuing them. Every customer's different. Some may be open to you next week because you said something that they liked, your candy customer. He didn't want to have anything to do with you.
Right.
He was probably from Massachusetts, wasn't he, Nick?
Yes, he was.
How did I know that? Anyway, nothing against Massachusetts, but
yeah.
I take it you're either a Yankee fan or a Met fan.
Me?
Yeah.
It depends who you talk to in my family. I'm a freight brokering fan.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
But Todd, you got to pursue them just like you'd pursue anybody else. Just like earlier, I believe it was Heath, once a week. Got to get on the phone. Got to get that email out or the phone call out once a week. Don't always make it an email because everybody else emails, Todd. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
And always be connecting with the marketplace. Never stop. Remember, three new contacts a day, minimum. Just minimum. It's a relatively easy request. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I appreciate your information. Thank you.
Drive carefully.
I will.
Okay.
Who's got the next call for Nick? Next call for Nick. Hit star 6. Are you a baseball fan?
Me?
Are you a sporting fan at all, Nick?
I played a lot of football when I was younger. I was a football fan for quite some time. Anymore as I get older, I don't follow too closely. But I guess you could see, I was definitely a football fan. I was a Giant fan back. I'm still a Giant fan, but
yeah.
You know.
Did you grow up in Dutchess County?
Yeah, pretty much. I grew up between Westchester and Dutchess.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Good deal.
But yeah, I played football throughout high school, a little bit in college.
Okay. Did you say in college?
Yeah, just a little bit. D3 team.
Where was college?
I think Marist for a little bit. But
Marist.
Yeah. Marist, right out of Poughkeepsie there, right by Culinary Institute.
Yep. Got it.
Just for a little bit there.
Okay.
And,
good deal.
But I still enjoy it. If I get some time during football season, which I rarely do because it's a busy season for me, I'll try to watch a game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One last point you want to share with us, Nick?
Honesty, integrity, and availability. If everybody remembers that,
three words. Apparently, they.
You can build a business off.
They mean a lot to you.
They do. Honesty, integrity, and availability. I've been through everything that you can think of in this business. People lying, people stealing, cheating, crashing their trucks into the sides of mountains, stealing stuff, federal agents coming with helicopters for mail. I've seen it all. And the best way to persevere through all of it, to make money, to being able to stay afloat, and to keep your customers happy, and to keep yourself sleeping well at night, is to be honest with everyone involved, have integrity, because as you get experience in this business, you end up knowing what's going to happen. So you use some of those skills, and you use some of that, that knowledge to be able to foresee and, stop or impede some of the, incoming disasters from happening.
Yeah.
And availability, because you're never going to, if opportunity comes, it's not, it comes at 9 o'clock at night. It's not going to wait for you all night till 9 o'clock in the morning when you're ready to take it. So that's really what, we've been able to build on over here. And it's done well for us, to say the least.
And one of the biggest jewels of information that you said right there is, hey, you haven't seen it all, but you've seen a lot.
Yeah.
And because you've seen a lot, Nick, don't get frazzled when something happens.
No, you can't.
Don't expect stuff to happen, but don't get frazzled when it does.
And that keeps up with that temperament thing. You gotta, take one phone call and one situation at a time. Don't let it affect your next phone call, because that could mess up the next relationship without you realizing it.
Awesome. Has this all been worth it for you, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd do it any time, Ted. It was nice talking to you, and I enjoy it.
Well, I meant being a freight sales agent.
Oh, that? Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Could you imagine doing anything else?
No, I can't.
Okay. Is it worth it in building relationships and financially?
Yes, it's more than worth it. It's more worth it than any other career out there.
I believe when I saw you in January, this is right after your busy season ended moving mail. I believe I asked you, Nick, from the business that you did during that busy season, were you able to purchase a house from the money you made?
In cash.
I believe your answer was yes.
Yep. Yes, it was.
Okay. Good deal.
In cash. And that's in New York. We live in the two most expensive places, you and I, Ted. So I said you and I live in the most, I think your area is a little bit more expensive than mine, but we live in the two most expensive places in the country. So
there's a reason why we can afford to do it. Absolutely.
And there's a reason we can afford to do it. That's right.
Nick, I'm just going to give a little outro here, but boy, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
No, fantastic. It was great talking to you, Ted.
It's been a real pleasure. So just in concluding my call today, I will ask it again. Do you want to receive the email notices and the attachments for this and every call? Now, I don't send them out for this call when I have guest speakers on, but when I have my actual training calls, do you want to receive those attachments that I send out? Well, like I said, go to tedkeysonline.com and click the contact link, enter your information, and that'll get you on my email. You will receive your personal weekly invites for this and every call. Also, do you have any questions about the call today? Or if you desire to join our top producing freight sales team, then call me directly, Ted Keys. My number is 626-309-9141.
Nick, everybody on the call, take care. God bless you all. We will talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You bet.